Good morning and welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship's virtual Sunday service. We are also affectionately known as WOOF. My name is Salima Mazen. I use the pronouns she and her. It is my privilege to serve as your worship coordinator this morning, and it is my joy to welcome you all, whoever and wherever you are at this moment. We want you to know that you are welcome here. Whatever your age or abilities, color of your skin or where you were born, whomever you love or how you identify your gender if you do, whatever your spiritual practices may be or if you have none, and whether your heart is overflowing with gratitude and joy or broken open with grief and pain, we are so grateful to be with you all this morning, all of us together in this virtual snowy community of conscience, compassion, and celebration. I encourage you to check the announcements in your order of service to see what else is happening this week, and especially to invite you to join us for our virtual coffee hour at 11:30. This is the time that we check in with each other, share our joys and sorrows, and talk about today's service with our guest speaker. Now, if this is your first time with us and you don't have an order of service, but would like to know more about who we are and how we stay connected during this time of social distancing, don't hesitate to get in touch with our congregational administrator through our website, WOOF. WHUUF.org. Lighting the chalice symbolizes our shared faith and draws us into sacred space, no matter how scattered we may be. If you are lighting a chalice at home right now, let us do it together and consider these words from Katie Kandarian Morris. Here we have come into this sacred space, quieter now with our readiness, hushed voices, hoping, trusting for so many things, for connection, for communion, for inspiration, for information, for communion, for healing, for wholeness, for words, for music, for celebration, and for consolation. Here we have come into this space, bringing all of who we are. Let us be willing, however we are changed. And speak with me now, our opening affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
Dear Spirit of love and life, I come before you with an open heart, full of pain and confusion and exhaustion. It has been such a difficult week. Many of us lost power and lived in the dark and cold without warm food. More lost their internet and the electronics that we depend on, especially during COVID, for work and school and connection with those we love and the world. Some of us still do not have power or internet. It's been so difficult and hard for many of us and for our neighbors and for our families and for our friends. And our disaster here in Oregon is swirled up with the rest of the country, nearly all of it from coast to coast, according to a map in the New York Times, sank into sub-zero temperatures for several days this last week, and three-quarters of the country was covered with snow. This is simply not something that happens. Caused, we are told, by a quavering polar vortex loosened by the warming temperatures. It sounds almost like a myth. The young gods started playing with fossil fuel, and the cold monster of the north broke out of his cage. Then the people of Texas were burning garbage in their backyards to stay warm. The power system failed. The water system failed. Cars and trucks could not move. The food system failed. Meanwhile, in other parts of the U.S., people experienced rolling blackouts for the first time in their lives. There just wasn't enough energy to hold off all that cold. Learning how fragile the systems are that make our lives function has been devastating. Oh, and then there's the pandemic, where this week, this very week, the U.S. is expected to reach 500,000 deaths, and there are 2.5 million or more deaths worldwide. Spirit of love and life, is it no wonder that we are exhausted from this winter? Give us nourishment, and give us strength, and give us love. Give us the courage and resilience and flexibility to live in this age of climate chaos. Give everyone across the world who is struggling for survival right now the courage, resilience, strength, and hope that they need. Give them bread and shelter and warmth and care. But please, mostly, remind us to love. Let us love ourselves fiercely, and remind us to reach out and grasp our neighbor's hand and say, let's help each other. Let's love one another. Let's let love win. Amen.
Today's service is all about opening our doors and our arms to what Wolf's mission statement calls the wider world. The wider world with its beloveds and its unbeloveds alike. It's the part of our mission that leads us to bloom in service. Our guest speaker, Paul Soucy, an educator, social services professional, theater artist, and community activist, will take us into neighborhoods and communities that most of us are not familiar with, those of the houseless and the incarcerated. We ask only that you keep your eyes and your hearts open. Today's reading is a poem titled Flowers by Portland poet Peter Salzman. Peter's work is published in Street Roots, and you can meet him and get signed copies of his poems most any day at the Whole Foods corner of Northwest Cooch and 12th Street here in Portland. You'll also find a link to him and his work, along with the other Street Roots poets, in your order of service announcements. Following the reading, we're going to share a time of extended silence for prayer, meditation, reflection, as may be your tradition. This is a time when you might wish to bring into the circle those who have been unbeloved in your own lives. Flowers by Peter Salzman. The pigeon's scintillating violet crest, the perfectly round and sensitive breast, were molded not by nature or by God above, but by drama, passion, need, and love. The symmetries and pretty colors and all the sweet scents of flowers arise from the needs of bushes and trees, for the love of ants and bees, and with their love, the ants and bees paint visions of beauty on the grass and trees. Over billions of generations, 1,000 million mutations, the hungry, needy little insects for intricacy and delicate odor select a beauty we can share, a beauty we can see, a message from 500 million years away that they are just the same as we.
Hello, everybody. My name is Paul Soucy. I am an educator, a site supervisor for the outdoor school with the Multnomah Education Service District, where my camp name is Badger. I use he, him pronouns. I've also spent the last 6 years as a shelter manager for Transition Projects, one of the largest social services agencies in Portland. I helped to lead 6 different shelters in 5 years, opening and closing emergency shelters, all in downtown Portland, and in Northeast Portland. I'm a Portland native, born and raised. Both of my parents are from the Philippines. I was an angry young man. I didn't go to college. I was really, I had a real temper. I still have a real temper. But what saved my life was Powell's Bookstore. I don't know if you could tell from all my friends around me here. And theater. I fell into Shakespeare at just the right time in my puberty, in adolescence, and theater, Shakespeare, classical literature, the Western canon, the dead white guys, helped me organize my feelings and my thoughts and join a deeper and broader community, the Republic of Letters. That humanist ideal is still something that I really believe in. So that's who I am and that's where I'm from. And, I am still an actor in town. I recently toured a production, an adaptation of the Iliad to over 25 different prisons, and community centers and religious organizations, including WOOF, in the last 2 years. We also adapted a version of Antigone, Anne Carson's translation of Antigone. We were going to tour that to the same prisons, but of course COVID happened. So here we all are in this brave new world with technology and things. I've performed regionally and nationally and internationally and locally. As I said, my primary stuff right now is as an educator, and as a social services professional. To begin, I just want to express my gratitude at being invited by Salima and by this intentional and beautiful spiritual community here at West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. It's really lovely to be back, actually. All month, this community has been contemplating beloved community. And I was asked to speak today to examine how the unloved, the least loved amongst us, fit within that loving ideal. Now, I believe that love, to be truly loving, must be intentional, specific, and truthful. I believe that even the most universal, expansive expressions of love must be grounded in clear intention in order to be at all meaningful. As anyone who's ever been in a long-term relationship knows, it's not necessarily easy to truly love the totality of someone with all of the complexities that you each carry within you. Movies and play books, it look easy, place impossible burdens on us. I draw a distinction between how relatively easy it is to fall in love and how much more complicated it is to love with enduring resilience over time. And as complicated as loving anyone can be, things grow exponentially more complicated when we live in community with one another, albeit socially distant and masked. As already mentioned, most of my adult professional life has been spent serving the unhoused, the homeless, the incarcerated, the marginalized. Succinctly, the unloved and the least loved amongst us all. And those labels, truth be told, are convenient abbreviations for much longer, much more complicated stories. I'm talking about sex offenders, users and abusers of addictive substances. I'm talking about people who have been rejected for their identity, their nationality, for their ethnicity, for their sexuality. The impoverished, who are guilty of not paying a debt or a series of debts. And even those labels that I'm using are just placeholders for much more tangled narratives. As a matter of fact, I've never met anyone whose story neatly fits any of the stereotypes that we're all imagining right now. The stories of loss, of trauma, of survival. These are all always longer and more complicated than can be neatly packaged in a mission statement or a one-hour episode or an incident report or a tweet. Maybe this is why so many services that are tailored to serve generic categories of people, such as the elderly or the clean and sober or those fleeing sexual abuse, these are all in practice hopelessly inadequate to serve the needs of real people with their complicated and intermingled stories of systemic and intersecting obstacles, traumas, needs. Think of how tangled your own life story is, how you met your partner, how your parent treated you, the person whose love you left behind. Think of the great regrets of your life, all the places that you escaped. Think of all the things you got away with. That's where the great trap is. Every argument and every justification for a reduction of services or a sweep of an encampment, they all hinge on that presumption they're getting away with it, whatever it is, whether it's food stamps or healthcare, housing, a living wage. Every conservative, reactionary, white supremacist argument is based on the fear that someone else is getting away with your hard-earned privilege. I let this guy in. Now I have to let in everybody who comes to my door. I'm not going to give her cash because she's just going to spend it on booze or meth. I worked hard so that I could buy this property, enjoy myself in this park or this bar. I don't want to have to see or hear or smell these people who didn't earn what I've earned. I don't want my tax money paying for their mistakes, their lifestyle. I don't feel safe with them around. I just don't. The problem is that on a person-to-person basis, all of that just boils down to simple cruelty. And it's a cruelty that is based on fear. And you can't reason. You can't debate with fear. I've tried. I've tried just opening as many shelters as possible. I've tried holding people responsible to higher standards. I've tried raising barriers. I've tried lowering barriers. I've tried trusting intuition, and I've tried trusting data. I've tried working with law enforcement, and I've tried shunning law enforcement entirely. In my time leading shelters, working directly with sex offenders, working directly with adults in custody, I've learned that focusing on not letting them get away with it, no matter who they are or what it is, it's a circuitous and unproductive path. All you do is fear, and then you hate because you fear. and then you hate yourself for the weakness you feel with that fear. And this is why it's always easier to fear than it is to love. Intrinsic to our shared moral culture, such as there is a presumption that you earn what you deserve. If you've been successful in life, it must be because you've earned it. If you're unsuccessful, it must be because that's what you deserve. That person looks like that because of what they've done. This person must be good. Look at how lovely they are. I serve because I think of myself as someone whom this country never wanted to be here. I'm a person of color, obviously, without a college education. I'm the son of immigrants who fled an authoritarian dictatorship without wealth. When my mom got sick and my parents split up, the culture and the social order around me decided not to show me intentional, meaningful love. I experienced firsthand how I checked many of the boxes somewhat, but none of the boxes sufficiently to qualify for more supportive resources and care. I thought, and on my worst days I still think, that I suffer because I somehow deserve to suffer. I didn't work hard enough. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't well behaved. I didn't know how to control my temper. I wasn't the mythical model minority. I didn't leave my personal problems at home enough. I wasn't professional enough. All of which is to say, I wasn't safe enough. I wasn't wide enough to satisfy whomever it was that was evaluating me in that moment. It frightens all of us to consider that there is no deeper logic to the American dream than that. Truly, Malcolm X was right when he called this the American nightmare. The fact is, you cannot meaningfully predict how tangled and durable this violent, unfeeling mess of a social order is, and how the ramifications for decisions you made or decisions you didn't make continue to impact you and your loved ones for generations. All of this would be mythic in another context. So what can I or anyone do in the face of such a tangled, complicated, endlessly infinite and consuming pain? I think you cannot love others unless you are loved yourself. I think that those who use hateful language, who fear others and hate those who disagree with them, they do not know how to truly love their own selves. The hatefulness, the violence, the inconvenience that we experience from those with less privilege than our own selves is actually a complicated message that you are being given. The message is, I'm in pain. I need help. And I don't have another way to say that. In speaking with you today, my goal is not to convert you to a particular political position or to convince you of anything other than this. Every human being you meet belongs here and is worthy of love. Now, whether to love them and how to express love to them, those are choices that are entirely yours to make. Truly loving a traumatized and hurting human isn't easy. Just this last weekend, I was helping to lead the severe weather shelters at the convention center. And while I was doing that, I was called racial slurs and epithets that I'd never had used against me before. I thought I'd heard it all. Love isn't always kind or easy. At any given moment, you already know what the right thing to do is. I firmly believe that all human beings have a conscience, and that our consciences are remarkably consistent across the infinite diversity of human experiences. I only urge you to listen to that conscience as much as you possibly can. If you want to get involved or if you want to donate, I would urge you to visit the websites for transition projects, for street books, for Sisters of the Road, for the Northwest Classical Theater Collaborative. And if you look up my website, paulsusi.wordpress.com, you can find out how to volunteer to be part of a prison pen pal network that I'm coordinating. Thank you all, and have a good day.
We'll build a land where we bind up the broken. We'll build a land where the captives go free, where the oil of gladness dissolves all mourning. We'll build a promised land that can be. Come build a land where sisters and brothers, filled with the Spirit, may then create peace, where justice shall roll down like waters, and peace like an ever-flowing stream. Build a land where we bring the good tidings to all the afflicted and all those who mourn, and we'll give them garlands instead of ashes. We'll build a land where peace is born. Come build a land where sisters and brothers, filled with the Spirit, may then create peace, where justice shall roll like an ever-flowing stream. We'll build a land where the forests are fertile, where the water and wind run clean and clear, and community matters more than possessions. Come share this land, let's build it right here. Build a land where sisters and brothers, filled with the Spirit, may then create peace, where justice shall roll down like waters, and peace like an ever-flowing stream.
One more time.
Oh, come build a land where sisters and brothers, filled with the Spirit, may then
as we extinguish the chalice, marking the end of our time together today, let us resolve to carry within us the warm glow of its flame and all that it stands for as we make our way through the coming week and all that it may bring. May we be reminded again, the words of the poet Peter Sosman, that we are all part of the same beauty. And may we meet again in a spirit of peace, love, compassion, and good health.